morning. Today's daf in Chulin Kuf Lamed Gimel. We're in Kuf Lamed Beis Amed Beis. We're coming off of a mission. The mission on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Amed Aleph, the 10th parak of Chulin, dedicated to the topic of Zorah Chai Vekeva, various parts of an animal that are given from a Chulin animal to a Kohen. Every Chulin animal has a requirement to be given these parts of the animal to a Kohen. We're going to be discussing a little bit later this morning the specific parts of the animal in which are going to be given. We already mentioned them before as well. The Mishnah yesterday on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph made a number of points regarding the halachas of these matanos. One we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, that if I have a bechor which is pater, which is going to be exempt from these matanos, if I have a bechor that gets mixed up with a number of other animals, and you happen to be shechting one of these animals, so it's a suffix, it's a possibility that the one that you're shechting right now is exempt and not the one that's chayev, so then you don't have to give the kohen, zerol chayev v'keva. And it's predicated on the principle hamotzi mechaver al averaya, because there is existing some sort of financial doubt in terms of whether you owe it or you do not owe it, so he cannot extract it from you. That was the first halacha that we learned yesterday. And then we also learned about ownership of the animal. In terms of obligation or exemption from giving these matanos, so it's all going to be predicated on who the owner of the animal is. So if the owner of the animal is a Yisrael, so then you're obligated. If the owner of the animal is... And we noted two examples in the Mishnah. Either the owner is going to be a Kohen or the owner is going to be an Ovei Kochavim. So then there's going to be an exemption. Kohen, because he's a recipient, he's not the giver of these matanos. And as far as an Ovei Kochavim is concerned, he doesn't have the mitzvah of giving to them. So if the owner is either one of these two, so then then obviously there would be an exemption from having to give them. And then we talked about buying from the butcher. If you bought from the butcher, and he sold you the keva, he sold you the fourth stomach of the animal, which is one of the matanos. So can you go back and can you get refunded the money? So the Mishnah taught us it depends on how you bought it from him. If you bought it from him as just simply a unit, meaning you just simply said, I want the full digestive tract of the animal, and then you ended up with one of the pieces being, of course, the keva, so then you... have to have the responsibility of giving that keva over to the kohen, and you cannot get a reimbursement. On the other hand, if he sold it to you by weight, so then you can demand a reimbursement. These are the basic points that we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. We're going to start today at the two dots. We did this yesterday, but we're going to start today at the two dots, the beginning of the sugya. Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, it starts at the top of the amud. Now, as far as the wording of the Mishnah is concerned, it's somewhat unclear, a little bit unclear. Meaning the Mishnah's point is that if you're shechting on behalf of a Kohen or an Ovei Kochavim, right? If you look at the wording of the Mishnah, shochet li Kohen ula Ovei Kochavim patar min ha-matanos. So isn't the basic point of the Mishnah just a question of who's obligated and who's exempt? And shouldn't the Mishnah just simply say Kohen v'Ovei Kochavim patar min ha-matanos, period, and make the point really clear? And why are we talking about shechting on behalf of? A little bit unclear. So the Gemara says, okay, it is a little bit unclear, but we gain another halacha. What do we gain? So what we gain from that is the following. We know that the question of whether the animal is obligated or exempt from these matanas is all going to be a question of ownership. That part's true. However, who is the one who's primarily responsible to give these matanas over to the over to the Kohen? And the answer is the tabach, the shochet. Even though the shochet is doing a service for somebody else, it is because he is shechting and because he's principally the one dealing with the animal, cutting the animal open, cutting up the animal. So consequently, he's the one who's going to be responsible for giving these pieces over to the Kohen. Now, we asked a question yesterday. I don't have any more clarity on the issue. Is he acting as a shliach? Is it an independent mitzvah that he's doing? Unclear. But hadinim atavach. That's why the Mishnah gives us the expression of I'm shechting on behalf of a Kohen. I'm shechting on behalf of an Ovei Kochavim. Meaning because the one who's doing the Shechita, so he's the one who's principally responsible for giving this matanos over to the Kohen. And so what the Mishnah is telling us is that, but yeah, that's true. But if the owner of the animal is either a Kohen or a Goy, so then there's no obligation. Darish Rava Meisa. What a wonderful question. Darish Rava Meisa Am V'lo Meisa Kohanim. Kishuam Meizov Chezev Achai Havi Omer. Afilu Tavach Kohen B'Mashma. Okay, good. The Gemara now is responding exactly to your question. Rava says that Meisa Am V'lo Meisa Kohanim. The obligation to give Zor L'chai V'keva is only from when the Am is shechting. And you remember, yesterday's daf, we talked about whether Levim are considered part and parcel of Am, or they are not considered part and parcel of Am. However, we know that the obligation of these matanos are coming from the Am. We also know, Kishu Amr Meizov Chehazevach, and who's shechting the animal? Zov Chehazevach, anyone shechting the animal. Havi Amr Afilo Kohen Tavach Mamashma. Even if your Kohen is shechting the animal, there's still going to be an obligation. Because again, as far as a shochet is concerned, that's not going to affect obligation or exemption from giving this matanos. So even if the shochet happens to be a Kohen, it's not going to change anything. Gemara now follows up with a story. This is where we left off yesterday. This is where we're picking it up this morning. Ushpizichnei de Rebbe Tavla Kohen Hava, v'havadachik le Milsa. Okay, so the innkeeper of Rebbe Tavla happened to have been a Kohen, and it also happens to be that he fell on hard financial times. And he is struggling. So also the Kamed de Rebbe Tavla. Now Rebbe Tavla happens to be staying by him. And Amrle Zili Shatef Bahadi Tavche Yisrael, de Migu de Miftere bin Matanasa, Mishtatfe Bahadech. So business advice with Rebbe Tavla. So Rabbi Tavla gave his host, his innkeeper, the following advice. He says, look, go into a partnership. And not only go into a partnership, but it happens to be that you're a Kohen. And as far as a partner, you're going to be sought out, you're going to be a sought out partner. Because any animal that you own is going to be exempt from the matanos. So if somebody goes into a partnership with you over animals, so it is going to be financially lucrative, because what's going to end up happening is that all the animals that you're going to be buying and selling you're going to have the gain of not having to give the Zror L'chai V'keva over to another Kohen, being that you're a Kohen and your part ownership will create an exemption. Good. So that's what you should do. That's my business advice to you. So now he went into a partnership with another person as per the advice of Rebbe Tavla, and didn't work out exactly as planned. So Chayvei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman heard about this. Rav Nachman issued a ruling that this innkeeper, this Kohen innkeeper, together with whoever's partner is, they must give the matanos to another Kohen. So even though the advice of Rebbe Tavla seemed to have been very sage advice, Rav Nachman simply disagreed. And so obviously the discussion, like what are they arguing about? So Amar Leva Ha Rebbe Tavla Patron. So this innkeeper said, wait one second, I got excellent advice from another Rav, Rebbe Tavla. And he told me it would be fine and they'd be exempt. And why are you, Rav Nachman, saying that I'm going to be obligated? So Amrle Zil Apik. So you know Rav Nachman at this point in time. If you don't know Rav Nachman at this point in time, get to know Rav Nachman. So he's not much in terms of discussion and dialogue. He ends debates very quickly. And he says, okay, he says, as far as Rabbi Tavlan is concerned, so zilapik, like literally get him out of here. V'ilam afkenalech Rav Tavlan miyonech, and if not, I'm going to take Rabbi Tavlan, I'm going to remove him from your ear. Meaning you're never going to hear Rav Tavla again. So, and exactly what he meant by that, Rashi says that anything he said, I'm just going to simply disprove. So in other words, Rav Nachman says very simply, not interested in hearing any arguments on behalf of Rav Tavlan. This is my position. That's the end of the discussion. Okay, it was a lovely discussion. So Azar Rav Tavla came to Rav Nachman. So now the principal Rabbanim get involved. And Rabbi Tavla now actually heads over to Rav Nachman and a discussion. So Azar Rabbi Tavla comes to Rav Nachman, Amalei my tamav and marhachi. So he looks at Rav Nachman and says, I don't understand your position. Amalei dechiasa Rabbi Acha bar Chanina midrama. Am Rabbi Shua ben Levi ziknei darum amru koin tavach shtaim v'shal shabbosos patim and matanos mekan ve'elachai b'matanos. And so he says, look, I have the following as a source. I have quoted by the Ziknei Darum, the elders in the south, right? The Gemara quotes them from time to time, these elders in the south. It sounds a little bit mysterious, but whatever the case is, they said that if the Kohen is a Tabach, if he's a Shochet, so then for weeks 2 and 3, so he's going to be exempt from the Matanos, but Mikan ve'elachai b'matanos, but from that point going forward, he's going to be obligated in the Matanos. Okay, now, at this point in time, it's a little bit difficult to understand, like, what is the difference between the second and third week and from any point in time going forward. If you take a look at Rashi writes, Shtayim v'shal shabbosos patur min ha-matanos le-sitam le-kohen acher mishum da'kat lo kviya. So you don't have to give them to another kohen because at this point in time there's no kviyas, there's no establishment. Ve'enam yodim adayin shehu tavach. And they don't know at this point in time that he is the tavach. Aval mikan ve'elech chayv hol de kviya. Now, from this point, however, once it's established that he is in fact the Tavach, so at this point in time he has to give it. Now, still, it's difficult to understand, meaning, as we established earlier in the Gemara, if the Kohen is just a Tavach, so now what? So does that mean now he's the owner? So presumably the answer, of course, is no. Meaning he's not the owner of the animal, he's just the Shochet of the animal, and being the Shochet of the animal, so does not create an exemption. So over here, it is a little bit difficult to understand because the advice that Rabbi Tavla gave to his innkeeper was, you should become a partner, not just a shochet. So this discussion between Rabbi Tavla and Rav Nachman is admittedly confusing, because over here, we seem to be talking about partnership, and meanwhile, what's being quoted in Ziknei Darom is a question of who the shochet is, and do people know that he's a shochet? So, let's just continue in the Gemara. Amar le v'lai v'lai mar, mia k'rabbi acha b'rabbi chanina. Okay, look, you're not going to allow for a permanent exemption from the Zohar L'chai v'keva, but can't you at least give me 2 to 3 weeks? So, amar le hani mila delo kava maschasa. Ava hacha, hakava maschasa. So he says, look, I'm only giving 2 to 3 weeks because it hasn't been yet established. But if you see him in the chanus, if you see him in the store, so at this point in time, it's already established. So as far as I'm concerned, he's still obligated to give. Again, the discussion and the debate in the Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand because we seem to be talking about a question of partnership. And again, partnership does create an exemption. We learned that, in fact, in the Mishnah yesterday. And we're going to head back to that point a little bit later this morning. And meanwhile, the discussion between Rav Nachman and Rabbi Tavla seems to be a discussion that is only limited to where the Kohen is serving as the Tabach, as the Shochet, and not as an actual partner.
It seems a public knowledge of his occupation creates a chiyuv.
Yeah, that's it, right. That's what it seems like in the Gemara. And admittedly, it's difficult to understand. I'm Rav Chista. Hi, Kana Dola Mafish Matan Salehave Bishamta. Rav Chista says that if you have a Kohen that is it does not separate his Matanos to another Kohen, so he should be, such a Kohen should be in Cherem. Bishamta Dola Keisra. So I'm Rav Abba Rav Shila, Hani Tavche Dehutso Kaime Bishamta. So the Rav Chista, Ha Esrim Vatartin Shnin. So he says, in fact, there is already a group of Kohanim who do not take off the Matanos and do not give it to others, and they've been in Cherem now for 22 years. Now, 22 years, it's a long time. By the way, 22 years happens to be like the number of the Gemara, right? When the Gemara wants to talk about a length of time, the Gemara, I'm not saying that it's not specific, but 22 years is a recurring number of the Gemara. So, the Gemara says, now what does that mean? Does that mean there's some sort of statute of limitations of Cherem? And Cherem only goes 22 years? But the Gemara says, but that's not true. So the Gemara says, look, as far as encouragement, I'm going to say the words, I'm going to put a little bit of a positive spin on it. In terms of encouragement, where you want to motivate somebody to do the right thing. So there is no statute of limitations. It just simply, there's no limit. When a person violates a law in the Torah, so fine. So we know that there's limits in terms of makos. You only get 39 makos if you violate a law in the Torah. However, if you are refusal, if you're in a state of refusal, the examples over here that we just went through, you were told to do a mitzvah sase, and you just simply are, you're refusing, you're just being difficult. So makos so achetetz nafshei, so you give him makos until his soul departs. The Gemara here means literally, you hit him until he dies. Hard to imagine. Probably it means over here, up to. Ad velo ad bechlal. Meaning, it's constant encouragement. And again, encouragement, I know I'm putting a positive spin on it, but it's constant encouragement to do it. So over here also, so these Kohanim are acting inappropriately, so it's constant encouragement to do so. So the Gemara says, Ela de kansinan luhu below asraisu. So the Gemara says, no. It just simply means over here that we are, the point of the story, we put him in Cherem, even though there was no formal warning. And the Gemara over here notes the various kenosos that were done by various Amarayim the for people who were being for being difficult and refusing. For example, Rava was kanis atma, so he would put a knas, he would put a punitive fine, and he would take the entire thigh away from a person who refused to give them matanos. Rav Nachman Yitzchak kanis glima. Rav Nachman Yitzchak would have a punitive fine on somebody, take away his garments if, in fact, he refused to give them matanos. So we see various Amarayim did, in fact, put a knas, levy a knas against people. They did so without warning. If a person was just simply being difficult and refusing to do a mitzvah seseh, like giving the matanos, so he put him in cherem. Okay. Amar Rav Chista zor la'acha v'kevel acha l'chaim l'shnayim. So Rav Chista teaches us now a new halacha regarding zor la'chai v'kevel. I shecht an animal, I must be giving the parts to the kohen. Good. And I can choose which kohen I want to give to. Does it have to be one kohen, or can I distribute? Look, there are three gifts, and not only is it number three, but I'll tell you what, today, because of everyone's wonderful behavior, I'll give a bonus. It'll be four. It'll be four parts. Now, how do we get to four parts? The Gemara is assuming right now that there is one zroa, that's one leg, the right front leg. The lechayim actually comes out to two, right? Cheeks, right? The Gemara's assumption over here is that there are two sides of the jaw. Now, it's going to require a cut, so it's a little bit difficult to understand how it can come out to two, and it includes the tongue as well, so we're going to be discussing later this morning. But anyway, the cheeks are considered two. In fact, in the whenever described, it's called the lichayim. It's called the cheeks. So that's assumed to be two. And of course, the keva. The keva is the fourth stomach. So do I have to give it all to one kohen? And Rav Chista says very clearly, unequivocally, no, you can give it to multiple kohanim. So zor le'echad, you can give the zor to one kohen, v'keva le'echad, and you can give the keva to another kohen, l'chaim, l'shnayim. And you can give the cheeks to two different kohanim. So you could take your matanos and you could distribute it to four different kohanim. So ini v'haki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef amar b'marava palginan lehu garma garma. So the Gemara says now, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he went even further. In other words, he took the bone, meaning he took the leg, and he even divided that into two. So the Gemara's question over here is not that you have to give it all to one, but why do you even have to be so limiting? You are only giving the matanos to four kohanim. If you take the leg and you break it up, you can give it even to more kohanim. So the Gemara's answer very simply, hasam b'detura. Okay. There, we're talking about where the animal was a large animal, was an ox. The leg is a sizable piece of meat. And so therefore, it is, would be totally fine and appropriate to take it, divide it into two, and give it to multiple kohanim. Because each one of them is going to be receiving a significant piece. The whole point of the Gemara over here is that as long as the kohen is receiving something of significance, so then you're good. But once you're dividing into a point where each one is getting just such a small and insignificant piece, so you really didn't do the best job in terms of distribution of these matanos. Amar Rava Baruchana, Amar Yochanan, Asa Lechol Mi Behema, Shelor Humu Matnoseha. Okay. And so, the Gemara now quotes another halacha, this one in the name of Rav Yochanan, and that's the following. Just as a brief introduction, things we all know. When talking about produce and taking off trumas and maisos from produce, so as long as the produce now has been taken out of the field and brought into the silos and measured and leveled and measured, so now that produce is what halachically is referred to as tevel. As tevel, we all know that now at this point in time, you cannot eat from the tevel. Consumption of tevel is an isser of miso bidei shamayim. It's a significant isser to eat from the state of tevel. And when's the next time you can eat from the produce? Only after you take off trumas and maisos. So you take off truma and you take off maiser. And then and only then are you allowed to eat it. So produce in a state of tevel is an isser gamor. It's a flat out isser. Question. We now are learning together in this 10th parak of Chulin that we also have a trumas type of matanos that are given over to the kohen, and that's the matanos. The zor l'chaim v'keva of every animal is to be given over to a kohen. Is the animal going to be considered a state of tevel prior to you giving these parts to the kohen? It's a simple and straightforward question, and Rav Yochanan has a very clear answer. Asur l'echol mi behem shelo horma matnoseha. So he declares it to be prohibited, meaning he basically says it's comparable to truma and of produce. Just like you're not allowed to eat from tevel of produce before you take off truma and maestros, here too as well. You're not allowed to eat from the animal until you take off truma and maestros. Now note the obvious difference, by the way, even within Rav Yochanan. When it comes to truma of produce, so there, before you took it off, that truma is latent within the tevel. Now, for even after truma has been separated, is a non-kohen allowed to eat that truma? Absolutely not. Meaning there lies also an iser for eating the truma. One can make a suggestion that when it comes to the consumption of tevel, the reason why it's prohibited is because of the latent truma that's inside the tevel, which in of itself is prohibited for a non-kohen to eat. Here, however, for these matanos, there is no kedusha. We made this point already numerous times in this perek. A non-kohen would be allowed to eat these matanos if invited over to a kohen's house. So there's no kedusha and iser in these matanos. So even though Rav Yochanan is saying we're going to treat the animal like tevel, we could still see a very clear distinction between regular produce and the truma shebo versus our animal with the matana shebo. Okay, but still, Rav Yochanan says they're basically comparable. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Rav Yochanan kol ha'ochel mibehem b'shlohorim. Yeah, I'm sorry. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Rav Yochanan kol ha'ochel mibehem b'shlohorim. Amanasar ki ilu achal tavalim. And it's as if you're eating tevel. Now again, the language over here is very clear. It's ki'ilu ochel tevalim. It's like you're eating tevel. Even within the sheet of Rav Yochanan, who says that you're not allowed to eat an animal before the separation of these matanos, it's not an absolute comparison. It's not mamish like tevel gamor, as we just got done explaining. But the Gemara immediately says, look, that's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. It is not the normative position. It is not the halacha. The halacha is that you are allowed to eat from an animal even prior to the separation of the matanos. How are you supposed to eat these matanos? So the Gemara says, roasted. And specifically with mustard. My time, amakar lemashcha, legedula kederach shamlachim ochlim. It is carbon-like. Now again, I'm going to be very clear in how I say this. It is carbon-like. It is not a carbon, obviously. We're talking about from chulin animal, but still, as the Kohanim are eating their matanos, so they should be eating it in a state of dignity and grandeur. And as a result of that, it should be eaten roasted because there's no better way to prepare an animal than roasting. And it should be eaten with mustard because mustard's delicious. Now, what I just said, those two last sentences that I just said, so they're not absolutes, meaning it's obviously to taste, meaning some people like their meat cooked as opposed to roasted. And there are people who don't like mustard. Tosfos over here notes, V'im Tomar, Tosfos, second to last Tosfos on the Amud. V'im Tomar, de'beper kol ha'tadr, amin v'chulam v'shayin ha'kohen l'shanos b'achila lo'ochlan, tzulin shlokim v'vushalim, v'am ha'gmar ta'amim mishim d'ksiv b'hu l'mashcha perish l'gedula k'terach sh'amalachim ochlin. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim says, how does a kohen prepare his karbanos? Any which way he prefer. In other words, Lamashcha means I'm going to eat it the way I like it. So we basically are confused now. Our Gemara over here seems to indicate that the Kohanim are going to eat it roasted and they're going to like it roasted. And they're not going to eat it any other way. And meanwhile, the Gemara in Zvachim says, no, you eat it the way you prefer. Venira, and so Tosfos over here suggests, Devada Kamosha Tovlo Venana Yoser Mati Achaluhu. So Tosfos says, look, here's my resolution. Kohen should eat it the way he prefers. That's number one. Ava adam shetov lo tzli kishalok mevushal yochot tzli shu derech gedula yoser. But all things being equal, let's say roasted, cooked, what do you like? The Kohen says, you know what? I like meat. It doesn't, as far as how it's prepared, all things being equal, it doesn't really matter to me. That's where our Gemara kicks in. Our Gemara now says that if all things being equal and he doesn't have a particular preference, so then we should go to roasted. Roasted is, if I could say this, I will, objectively a better way to prepare it than cooked. Again, if a Kohen has a personal preference, so then he should go with his preference. But all things being equal, roasted is lands on top as the best way to prepare it. Okay. V'amar Rav Chista. Back to our Gemara. We are on towards the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. And a continuation of the Gemara, Esen V'Arba Matanos Kohuna. There are 24 gifts to the Kohanim. Later today, we're going to go over all 24. Kol Kohen She'eino Baki Bahem Eino Nosen Lahem Matana. Now, a Kohen is going to be the recipient of these allocations, these 24 distributions. Now, the Kohen has to be Baki Bahem. He has to be knowledgeable. And specifically knowledgeable about what? Interesting, Rashi over here. When Rashi talks about knowledge. She'eino Baki Bahem Hech Din Matana Hech Ne'echalem B'Gedula. Like, for example, the last halacha we just learned, that the proper way to prepare them is roasted. And I imagine, even according to Rashi, in other words, all the other halachas as well. But still, if a kohen is not knowledgeable in the halachas, don't give it to this particular kohen, meaning he just simply lacks the knowledge base to be a proper recipient. V'lav milsi, but the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what, even though it was said over in the name of Rav Chista, it is not the accepted position. No. In terms of what exactly is the threshold to become a recipient of these matanos, so it's not a question of knowledge base. You don't have to be totally knowledgeable in everything. What you do have to be, however, is that you have to be a Shomer Torah and you have to be a Mamon. You have to have basic Jewish beliefs. The pasuk over here in Parshat Tzav describes that if he is going to be offering the Dam HaShlamim and the Chelev of the B'nai Aharon, keying on the word B'nai Aharon, so he's going to be receiving his portions. Now, Ein Li Ela Zeh Bavad. Now, that only tells me this particular avoda of Hamakriv. And let's say right now that Makriv is the avoda of Holacha. Now, I say let's say because Rashi says it. How do I know that it's true regarding all the other avodas? They have to have a certain base emuna, right? Basic emuna. Now, when we talk about basic emuna, what are we referring to? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says in terms of basic emuna, she'enu amoda ba'avoda. Sha'amar, I'm reading the Rashi inside, four lines down and the lines get wide. Sha'amar b'libo divrei hevel hein. V'lotziva ha'makom l'hakriv lo karbanos. In terms of this this thing called service, temple service, this is not coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ela Moshe bada milibo. Moshe came up with it. Moshe entertained himself by putting together a list of things that we're going to do to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not a tzivu of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You talk about basic amuna, meaning this is basic amuna, knowing that the Torah is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not manufactured by Moshe Rabbeinu. So, right, this is as basic as it comes in terms of basic emunah. If you have a kohen who does not subscribe to this kind of basic emunah, so then you don't give him the matanos. Good. So the Gemara says that's the threshold in terms of who is going to be a proper kohen being the recipient of these distributions. And the Gemara says then it's not just the malacha of holacha, but it's all the malachas. And the Gemara now is going to give us a short list of 15 different avodas. Kigon. Hayitzikos, Vahablilos, Vahapisisos, Vahapisisos, these are our voters related to the Mincha. I'm going to be really quick over here. I'm not going to go into any kind of detail in explaining all these on another occasion. Vahamalichos, Tenufos, Vahagashos, salting, waving, Hagasha, bringing the Mincha right up to the Mizbeach. Hakamitzos, taking off a fistful. Hakatoras, the burning of the comets. Vahamalikos, and doing malika to a bird, vikabalos, and the receiving of the blood after you shecht an animal, vehashka sota, and the giving of the water to a sota varigas egla, the decapitation of the calf. Egla rufa, vitaris mitzora, and the process of taris mitzora. This week's parsha, nesias kapaim, the duchening, maybe mifnim, maybe mechutz, whether done in the base of mikdash or outside the base of mikdash. So how do I know that a kohen has to be Be mamin on all these avodas? And again, I'm going to insert Rashi. Be mamin all these avodas that they came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Tamalomer bimnei Aaron avoda hamur livnei Aaron v'chol kohen she'namodaba ein lo chelik b'kohuna. Okay, so you have to have a hoda, you have to have an admission to all this. Time adeno modaba hamodaba afakav deno baki b'hem. And the Gemara's diuk over here is: look, it's very clear now in terms of what is the threshold of who is a proper kohen to be the recipient. It's not a knowledge base, but it is basic emunah. It is basic understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mitzvah. He's the one who's commanding us to do all these avodas, and it's not man-made. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Chutin Shebelechi Asurin. Okay, transition, new topic. The Gemara now is going to be discussing considerations of what you can and cannot eat of these distributions. Specifically, we're going to go to the lechi, we're going to go to the jaw. Included in the jaw is going to be the tongue and the throat, and there are going to be jugular veins and major arteries that are running through the throat of the animal, and a kohen just simply has to beware. These are major arteries, major veins, that have blood running through them, and so therefore there is a blood consideration. So, So another simple benchmark in terms of, are you an appropriate Kohen that I should be giving this to? If you know how to maneuver and make sure not to eat the blood, so then, fine, you are a deserving recipient. But if you don't know these basic halachas, and I'm going to give you the matanos, and you're just going to eat it with the blood vessels, with the blood, so then you're simply not a person to give it to. So Velohi, but the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what, it really is not much of a consideration. Why? Meaning, of course, blood is a consideration. But specifically over here, it's not. Because Ibatavia made of Divi. Because what is he going to do before he eats the meat of the throat? So he's going to roast it. So you roast it, and that's going to draw out the blood, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta. The Ilik Dera, Idemechatech Luhu Malch Luhu made of Divi. And even if he's going to cook it, but still, in other words, before he's going to cook it, he's going to cut it open. He's going to salt it. And that, too, is going to be draining out all the blood, as we discussed earlier. So the Gemara says, even in just basic preparation, the Kohen's not going to eat the blood. Amar Rava Badaklan Rav Yosef. Rava says that we were examined often by Rav Yosef, tested by Rav Yosef. Haikana dechatev matanasa chavuvika mechavev mitzvah, o zuzulka mezalzel be mitzvah. Let's say you have the Kohen and he helps himself to the matanos. In other words, he knows that his neighbor next door is shechting an animal, knocks on the door, comes in, hi, how are you? It's so good to see me. You know what? Thank you so much. I'm just going to take this for myself. And Imamish takes it. Now, my illustration is somewhat comical. Rashi's is probably even funnier than mine. Rashi says, Dechatev matanasa, tinoke shenosim osam lekohanim. So what happens is that the way Rashi describes it, you actually have a child now taking the matanos that were given to him by the owner of the animal, and he's walking it over to another Kohen. And now you are Kohen, seeing that child, you go and you intercept. Thank you so much, I'll take that for myself. Now, are you A, here's your multiple choice test for today. Are you A, showing that you have a real love for the mitzvah and that you're taking the matanos, and so therefore that's what's called chavuve mitzvah, or B, are you being mezalzel? Are you being disparaging of the mitzvah by showing poor midos, and is there a certain level of contempt that you have for the mitzvah where basically you're just simply grabbing it for yourself? So those are your two questions. So over here, the way the Torah describes it is it's a nesina. It has to be a gift. The way the Kohen has to receive it is via gift. A Kohen cannot take it, and as we'll see in just a moment, shouldn't even ask for it. In other words, he should just simply be on the receiving end and not the taking. And it should not be in a form of taken. It should be totally passive. Amar Abaye Mereshava Chatifna. Now, Abaye, by the way, was a Kohen. I know sometimes we don't think about it because he was an orphan and he was raised in another's house, but he was a Kohen. He's a descendant of the Bnei Eli. Obviously, Kohanim. So Amar Abaye Mereshava Chatifna Matanasa. I used to grab the matanos. But I said to myself, look, this it's chivav a mitzvah, right? I went with option A. I thought that it was a praiseworthy activity. However, so Abaye says, but having learned the halacha that it is an asina and I should be on the receiving end and not the taking end, so then I never took again. Okay, good. So Abaye, right, as much of a Talmid Chacham as he was, he always humbled himself, right? The Gemara has numerous examples, but here was just a wonderful example. Basically, I learned something. What I did is incorrect. Good. I'm ready to correct. And now, Meimer Amri Havoli. Okay, but in other words, he still would ask for it, and he stopped that as well. Kevin Shemanlu Detanya Vayitu Achri HaBetza. So over here, a description of the Bnei Eli, and that they went after Achare HaBatza. Batza, money, bribery, right, by the brothers and Yosef. Ma Betza, right? Like, what money do we have? What gain do we have if we just killed him? Let's tell him. I know it doesn't put the brothers in the best light, but, okay, that's the pasuk in the Torah. So, Vayetu Achare HaBatza, so in the description of Bnei Eli, so it says that they went after the money. Rabbi Meir Omer, I'm sorry, yeah, Rabbi Meir Omer Bnei Shmuel Chalkam Shalu Bifiyam. And what they did over here is that they actually asked for the allocation. So Meimer Nami Lo Amina. So Abaye says, so good. So I, huh?
Talking about Shmuel Anovi?
I assumed it was talking about the Bnei Eli.
So who
is
Bnei Shmuel?
I hear you. Okay. I'll look up the pasuk again. So the Abai says, so I didn't even ask for it. V'iyavuli shakina. And if it was given to me, so then I would take. So now Abai is at the point where he didn't grab, he didn't even ask, but if he if somebody offered to him, he received it. And then he went even one step further. So, but then the Braisa describing the lechem upon him. It got to a point in time, historically, where the lechem upon him, so it used to be that everyone got a small piece and that would have been sufficient and that would have satisfied. However, it got to a point during the Baisheni, the Gemara in Yuma describes, that it didn't satisfy. People who were ready to throw a couple of elbows, so they got their way in and they would take a part of the lechem upon him. However, Hatsinuin, those people, those Kohanim who were modest in nature, Moshkenes Yadayim. So they would stay in the back and they wouldn't push and they wouldn't grab and they wouldn't even take. They wouldn't even take from the lechem upon him. So, and the people that were throwing elbows and pushed their way in, so they were described as gargarnim. Certainly not a complimentary way to describe the behavior of a Kohen. But the people pushed their way in, so they were like gluttons. So Mishkan Nami Lo Shakena. So Abaye says, basically, I never took. So Abaye now stopped grabbing, didn't ask, and then got to the level where he didn't even take when it was offered to him. However, once a year, Abaye would allow himself to take the matanos. Labar mimala yuma de kippur, except for Erev Yom Kippur. Now, leuchzuke nafsha mikohani. Now you get two benefits from taking an Erev Yom Kippur. One, it's Erev Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And what better food to eat on Erev Yom Kippur than meat? So he received the allocation of the matanos on Erev Yom Kippur. Two is that, and this is what the Gemara is focusing on, is that you take an Erev Yom Kippur, he wanted to take once a year so that everybody knew that he was a Kohen. Meaning he wanted to make sure that people remember he's a Kohen. If every single time somebody offered the matanos and he says no thank you, eventually the no thank you is going to turn into, oh, I guess you're not a Kohen. Right? Why aren't you ever saying yes to the matanos? So once a year is an annual reminder, so he would take the matanos. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. Well, I don't understand. You need an annual reminder? Now, I say it's obvious, by the way, if you're Sephardi. If you're Ashkenaz, it's not such an obvious question. But if you're duchening, and you're duchening every single day, so aren't people going to know you're a Kohen?
What are we getting in Aliyah?
Okay, and or the Aliyah. V'lifros yadei. So the Gemara says, so why isn't he duchen? And people will see, oh, he's duchening, he's a Kohen. That's normally how it works. So the Gemara says, ansele idne. So the Gemara says, well, he was an ones and he didn't duchen. He was an ones and he didn't duchen? What does that mean? So Rashi writes, ansele idne, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Itim shekavala tamidav hayutrudim oso melisas kapav. So really interesting Rashi, and it's hard for me to put it into practical terms what exactly this means, but I'll read the Rashi, I'm translating. That there were many times that he was koveh tamidim, in other words, he had shir, and hayutrudim oso melisas kapav. And the tamidim had so many questions that he just simply was unable to escape in order to duchen. Shaya osig la tamidah, ve'eshat sibon esavlan be'sakinesis. Because at the time, the people weren't shul, so he was busy giving shir. Now, he couldn't have been busy giving shir at another point in time, meaning every single morning it was during Shacharis that he was giving shir. And so, admittedly, I'm at a little bit of a loss. It's not the first time. I'm a little bit of a loss in terms of explaining how it is that every single morning shir happened to have been during davening, and he couldn't navigate and he couldn't negotiate, well, let's daven and then we'll give shir afterwards. Right? Once in a while, you certainly understand. From the Gemara, the way the Gemara sets it up, mamish every single day, and so therefore the annual reminder that he's a Kohen comes from him receiving the matanos on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay. Yeah, that's easier. Right, that's an easier pshat. The Rashi pshat is very difficult. Okay, I'm acknowledging. Amar of Yosef, Hai Kahana de Islay Tzurba Merabanim B'Shavavuse. If you have a Kohen who is a Talmud Chacham and he's living in your community, V'Dechikalei Milsa. So he's having a financially tough time. Liskele matanasa. So so what you should do is you should be mezake him the matanas. So over here, so the So over here, what we're describing is the giving of the gifts to a Talmud Chacham. Now, even though the Talmud Chacham himself is not a Kohen, but give it through a Kohen. Now, the Gemara over here is going to talk about the following halachic maneuver. It is a halachic maneuver. And that is as follows. So basically what we're doing a wonderful thing. It's a Talmid Chacham who's struggling, who's financially struggling, and what we are now recommended to do is to give him the matanos and give it to him through a Kohen, but the halachic maneuver over here, even if the Kohen didn't actually receive it. Now, how does that work? So the Gemara says, "Bemakire kahuna v'levia." So the Gemara over here says that it's makire kahuna. What does that mean? Once again, I turn to Rashi. "Bekoin shaya nikar be'ir v'rov bnei adam ohavim oso v'noslo hamatanos." So it happens to be that we have our resident Kohen, our community Kohen. He's beloved, says Rashi. Everybody knows him. Everybody likes him. He, generally speaking, is the recipient. Right? Communities have this. In other words, where there's a pigeon, a ben. So there's basically, in other words, there may be numerous Kohanim, but there's one that everyone likes and whatever. Just, you know, the quote-unquote mayor of the town. So the, so, uva oso Kohen amrina diyachol azakos masrosav la'acher afagav delasi liyadei. And this halachic maneuver is that because he is now the default Kohen of the community, so basically we all know that it's going to be headed towards him. So even though he didn't actually receive it, but because of this default assumption that he is going to receive it, so now you can transfer the matanos through him and to a needy Talmud Chacham of the community, even though this Kohen didn't receive it. Now it sounds a little...
So he himself is not involved in this, then the decision?
Those are reasonable questions. Not totally clear. I will tell you, as we're going to see the Gemara upcoming, the Gemara doesn't love the advice, but this is the halacha of Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Avirasaf Iklu Lebei Mar Yuchna Burei Derav Chana Bar Ada. The Gemara follows up with the following story. Rav and Rav Safar went to a community and to Mar Yuchna. Now, we have another version. V'amila Libnei Mar Yuchna Burei Derav Chana Bar Bizna. Okay, but Avalu Igla Tilsa. And so, prepared for them, Igla Tilsa. Igla Tilsa, the famed third calf, right? The third calf over here, meaning the third born, or just simply a reference to a special type of calf, whatever the case is, it's delicious meat. So, Amalei Rav Lasham A. Zachilan Matanasa Debi'ina LaMechal Lishna Bechardula. So, now Rav says the following to his attendant. Now, his attendant was a Kohen. And basically what Rav is going to do now is that Rav is going to divert the Matanos through his Shamish over to these to these guests. Now, Zachla Matanasa Debi'ina LaMechal Lishna Bechardula, because what I want to do is I want to serve them the tongue, which is part of the Lechayayim, which is the Matnas Kahuna, and specifically with mustard. Second time today, we talked about how important mustard is towards meat, right? It's a super important condiment. So, Zachilan Rava. So, I'm sorry, so Zachile. So, he did so. So, again, now we are in this halachic maneuver, where he is basically having a default Kohen, assuming now the possession of these matanos, and then once he received it, he then went ahead and transferred it over to his guests. Now, Rava Achal, Rav Safra Lo Achal. Now, these guests in question over here were comfortable, uncomfortable. Well, both. Rava went ahead and he ate these matanos. Now, Rava was one of the guests, and Rav Safra did not eat one of the matanos. Ikre le Rav Safra Bechama. Now, Rav Safra had a dream that night. In other words, Rav Safra, who was not the recipient, Rav Safra refusing to eat these matanos because they were given to him in this somewhat questionable manner. So the Gemara says, Rav Safra had the following dream. So in the dream, the following pasuk in Mishlei was read to him, Ma'adeh beged b'yom kara, wearing a worn-out garment when it's really cold outside. It's not going to help you. And chometz al neser, and putting vinegar on top of clay. Now, don't ask me. It's not good. It doesn't work. And sar b'shirim al levra, singing to somebody who is really right now not interested in hearing any songs. Okay, the point in the pasuk in Mishlei is that you know you're engaged in fruitless activity. Okay, things that are not going to work. Now, asa l'kamed Rav Yosef amalei dama mishum de avdei hashmaisa demar ikrein hachi. Now, clearly over here, Rav Safra understood that he had the dream because the dream was basically censoring a behavior. And he thought it was censoring his own behavior. Meaning Rav Safra, because he refused to eat the matanos, because he thought that the way it was given to him was somewhat questionable, so he thought he was being censored in the dream. So Rav Yosef, now the same Rav Yosef, by the way, who is the one who presented us to this halacha. Now remember, Rav Yosef's halacha is that you can divert the matanos through a well-known kohen of the community, have him become the de facto recipient, and then after he has quote-unquote received it, you can then divert it over to a Talmid Chacham who happens to be poor. So it's Rav Yosef himself who says to Rav Safra, you did the right thing by not eating the matanos. Now what about my halacha? So he goes on to explain. Be'acher shame bakarcha mezake. Look, I was talking about where you had a well-known and respected kohen in the community. And people understand that it's going to go to him. And so therefore he becomes a de facto recipient. Over here in the story that you experienced, so who became the recipient of the matanos? The shamish. The shamish didn't have much of a choice in the matter. So that is more halachically questionable. So what you did is fine. And furthermore, v'chi amrei ana lamandalo efsherlei. Ha, efsherlei. And not only that, but we're talking about a Talmid Chacham who had no other means of receiving. So therefore, I'm allowing for this legal maneuver so that the beneficiary is going to be somebody who otherwise would not be able to receive. You, on the other hand, and Rav, on the other hand, so you guys could have received on your own. So over here, you're right. You, Rav Safra, were right. You should have declined the matanos under those circumstances. Okay, so now that Rav Safra has been vindicated and his behavior was a fine behavior, so why did he get a dream where somebody was being censored? So the recipient of the message was Rav Safra. But in terms of who the message was for, it was actually for Rava. In other words, Rava engaged in this kind of questionable behavior, having taken the matanos, quote-unquote, given it to a shamish, who is a kohen. And then he says to the shamish, now you give it to these guys. So Rava engaged in this kind of questionable behavior, so the dream was for Rava. So Velikra and LaRava. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Why didn't Rava go to bed that night, and why didn't Rava get the dream? Answers the Gemara, Rava Nizav Hava. Rava was somewhat excommunicated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi over here says, why was he excommunicated? So it could be based on the Gemara in Tanis. The Rashi goes through the Gemara in Tanis on Daf Chav Dalet, describing exactly what Rava did that was somewhat inappropriate. But Rava says, but I'm going to give you a much simpler shot. Do you know why he was excommunicated? Because of our story right over here. In other words, Rava engaged in a legality, which was not 100% sanctioned. And so basically, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to give a direct message to Rava under these circumstances. Okay, so Rav Safra becomes the recipient of the message.
Another pastor.
Yep.
Another diversion.
Yep. Amalei Abai LeRav Dimi. Upashli Dekra B'Maiksev. Okay, now, in terms of fruitless activity, so the Gemara says, that's the Pasuk of Mishlei. So we saw the Pasuk being used, but certainly out of context. Even in context, give me the simple pshat in the Pasukim. If I wore a worn-out piece of clothing in the cold weather, so it's not going to help me. Meaning, and we say simple pshat in the Pasuk, meaning that is simple. What I just said is simple pshat in the Pasuk. That's true, but the Pasuk in Mishlei is obviously trying to communicate an idea. What is the most basic idea trying to communicate? So Amalei Bishon L'Tamashe Eino Hagun. So he says, you know what's a fruitless activity? Where you're trying to teach somebody who is just simply inappropriate. Teaching somebody inappropriate becomes a fruitless activity. Now, obviously, we live in the world where we speak about Kirov all the time, and right, aren't we trying to inspire and spread the message? And all that's true. But in other words, but the Gemara over here is discussing where the person, we're not at the point of Kirov. In other words, he's coming to yeshiva, and he's in shir every day, and he's just simply inappropriate. Now, the Gemara doesn't give a detailed description of what it means inappropriate. Certainly, I'm sure we're all curious to know exactly what it means that he's just simply not appropriate. But if it's a Talmid Sheino Hagon, and we're talking about it on a daily basis, so over here, continuing to be his Rebbe, that's what the Pasuk in Mishlei is describing. And the Pasuk in Mishlei is saying, and you shouldn't be his Rebbe. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Kol Hashon L'Talmid Sheino Hagon Nofel B'Gehenna. And just in case you were not, we are not all totally clear about the Gemara's sentiment about teaching somebody who is inappropriate. So the Gemara says it with about as much clarity as one can imagine. You teach a Talmud who is Eino Hagon, so Nofa Begehenim. Shenemer Kol Shochech Talmud Tzfunav. Okay, there's a certain darkness prepared for that individual. Tochleu Eish Lo Nofeach. Again, the Gemara is quoting the Psukim over here from Eov in describing someone who's teaching a Talmud Eino Hagon. Yaris Rid Ba'o Halo. The Ein Srid Ela Talmud Chacham. The a Talmud Chacham goes into your attention. Emra Uvis Sridim. Asher Hashem Kare. Okay, Amrav Zera Amrav Kol Hashanu Talmud Eino Hagon Kazorik Evelam Markulus. It's like worshiping idolatry. Shenemer Kitzur Evan B'Migama. Chain no sein leksil kavod. You give this fool any kind of honor, so that's what it's like. Uksiv lo na'ave leksil tanug. Okay, so the Gemara has many strong statements to make about somebody who tries to teach a Talmud who is eino hagon. Hamishatefi mahem tzarech lirsham. Okay, let's continue just a little bit more for this morning. If you are going into a partnership together with a guy or together with a Kohen, so you need a Rishima. There needs to be some sort of mark or some sort of indication. The reason why I'm not giving Matanus is because I am now in partnership with a guy or an Ovi Kochavim. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. The Gemara now is commenting on this line of the Mishnah. Now, the comment of the Gemara is, I'm bothered. Because the afilu imo v'kochavim v'remino mishatifim kohen tzarach l'rishom v'mishatifim omiko v'kochavim upsulam mikdashim tzarach l'rishom. So on the other hand, we have another brisa that says very clearly, it's a tosefta, that if I go into partnership with a kohen, so that requires some sort of marker. There has to be a clear sign indicating that the reason why we're not giving matanos is because my partner over here is a kohen. However, if I am partnering with a guy, or if I am involved in psule hamukdashim, the sale of meats of a carbon that had a blemish, that were redeemed, and now I'm selling psula hamukdashim, so it does not require a reshima, does not require a clear messaging. So the Gemara says, so how do I mean miyashev the Mishnah and the Tosefta achem b'maiskinan, diyasev avikochavim amaschasa. So the Gemara is going to try to give ukimtas, as we now turn to the next amud. Well, maybe the Bryce is talking about a case where the guy is in the store and he's right and he's sitting behind the cash register. So dekavasega bekohen diyasev amasachta. So amai tzarach l'rishom. So the Gemara says, well, you can't do that. You can't give an ukimta for one case and not give the same ukimta for the other case. In other words, we're obviously making a contrast between a kohen and a non-Jew. Well, whatever case we're coming up with the non-Jew, it's got to be the same case for the kohen. So the amre bisra kazavin. So the Gemara says, Yachia v'kochav nami amre bisra kazavin. Well, if the kohen's in the store, well, people will say, well, he's just there to buy the meat. He's not actually partnering. So the Gemara says, can't we say the same thing by the non-Jew as well? Now, Elahachib by my skin and diyasid over kochavim akas pasta. So the Gemara says, and by the way, I earlier when I said he was at the cash register, that was too early in the Gemara. Earlier, the Gemara just simply meant he was in the store. Now the Gemara says he's behind the cash register. Okay, so clearly now he's not just a customer. So the Gemara says, Gabay Kohen, diyasid akas pasta. So the Gemara says, okay, if we're going to say that for the Kohen, let's say the same thing for, sorry. If we're going to say that for the non-Jew, let's say the same thing for the Kohen. So Amay Tzarech L'Rishom. So Amre Hemune 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 Hemne. So the Gemara says, well, when it comes to the Kohen, you know what? He's not a partner. Why is he behind the cash register? I trust him. So the Gemara says, Ovikochav Nami Amre Hemune Hemne. So can't you say the same thing by the guy? So Ein Emuna Beovikochavim. So the Gemara says that's not typically how it works. I mean, you don't just simply put a guy behind the cash register and say, oh, no problems whatsoever. He's not a partner. I just simply trust him. That's not generally how it works. So if you see a guy behind the cash register, you know by definition he's a partner, and that doesn't require a special occasion for a reshima. However, if it's a kohen behind the cash register, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a partner. So therefore, that requires clear messaging that he is a partner. Or the Gemara says, another reason why is because the guy talks. And when he is there, so he's going to be talking enough so that people understand that he is a partner in this venture. And that's why it does not require any special messaging. But when it comes to a kohen, so he's not going to be as talkative. And so therefore, there's a requirement of special messaging. Okay, this morning, we went over numerous halachas regarding the matanos. We discussed the idea that you can divide and distribute it amongst multiple Kohanim, as long as each one of them get a significant piece. A discussion in the Gemara whether or not we're treating the Matanos like Truma and Tevel, where you can't eat the Tevel until you take off Truma, although the Gemara backs off from that position. How to prepare the Matanos, so you should roast it, that we discussed this morning. Inconsistency between our Gemara and the Gemara and Yuma regarding what is the best way to prepare. What is the threshold? What kind of standards do we need for the Kohen in order for him to be the recipient? So does he have to be a Talmud Chacham? The Gemara deliberated. He has to have basic emuna in Torah Misinai in order for it to become a recipient. That part's clear. The Gemara's discussion about the removal of the blood from the blood vessels that run through the neck of the animal when you're given the lechayayim. The Gemara discussed that. And then a major discussion in today's daf is the maneuver of sending the matanos to a Talmud Chacham, an indigent Talmud Chacham in our community, and sending it through a Kohen, even though he didn't actually receive it. And a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of whether or not this is a sanctioned behavior, it's not a sanctioned behavior. Rav Yosef says it's perfectly sanctioned. And then the Gemara told the story with Rav and Rav Safra, where there it was not perfectly sanctioned, and the Gemara made distinctions between those cases. And finally, the Pasuk and Mishle talking about teaching somebody who is a Talmud Sheino Hagon. The Gemara is very opposed to such an idea. And then the last thing we did in the course of this morning is the Gemara's discussion regarding the going into partnership with either a Kohen or a Goy, which will create an exemption from the Matanos, and what kind of clear messaging needs to be broadcast to the community that you are partnering with him and therefore exempt.